You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. When it comes to ceilings, there are figurative ones, our limits or perceived limits, and literal ones, the roofs over our heads. This next story involves a little bit of both. The folks at PBS's This Old House partnered with Homes for Our Troops to build a new home for Matt DeWitt. He's a veteran who lost both arms below the elbow as a result of a wound from the Iraq War. A house built for accessibility can be an expensive proposition, requiring lots of custom work. Keyless entry, touchless faucets, no thresholds, wide bathrooms, side-opening windows. Those things might seem like small improvements, but they make a huge difference in DeWitt's everyday life. Kevin O'Connor, the host of This Old House, told us that for Matt DeWitt, real accessibility meant keeping his family in mind.
The thing that he really wanted was he wanted to be able to stay in his house and raise his family. And that's not a very big request when it comes from a guy who's got two young sons and a wife. Well, that means, you know, simple things. He wanted to be able to give his children a bath. And he lost both of his arms above his elbow because of a wound that he received during the war. And he has prosthetics and two metal claws. Well, you cannot feel the temperature of bath water when you have two metal claws. So he was never sure if the water was too cold or too hot for his little kids. And we were able, Homes for Our Troops was able to put in faucets that had sensors so that he can actually punch in the exact temperature that he wanted for that bath. And now all of a sudden, Matt, father of two, could for the first time bathe his children since his injury.
You know, you've worked on projects in the past to rebuild or adapt homes for people who have lost limbs, people who are in wheelchairs. When you do that, what are the different considerations for, say, specific injuries or disabilities that you come across?
Well, there are a lot of different considerations. And actually, the first thing that really should happen with any renovation is to do an assessment. You want to actually figure out what are their needs. Are they in a wheelchair? If they're not now, will they be in the future? Are they an amputee? Do they have a caregiver with them? And is that caregiver there part-time or full-time? And if you're really lucky, the contractor that you work with will do an assessment with the homeowner's medical care provider so that they fully understand the limitations that the person has and all of the needs that need to be met. And then when you've got that assessment, you can actually customize the home and the features inside of it to meet their needs and make their life such that they can live in their homes comfortably and independently.
All of this stuff sounds like it costs a lot of money.
Ooh, well, it can. You know, it depends on what you do. If you can imagine somebody in a wheelchair and they have a two-story house or they have to get up a flight of stairs to get into the house, you know, the most expensive thing you can do is add an interior elevator. That's a lot. That's a lot of money and it takes up a lot of space. Now, not a lot of people avail themselves of that option. There are less expensive options. You can put a stair chair on a straight staircase for about $3,500. It would go up from there if the staircase curves and it might top out at $10,000 or so. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to have that in every situation. Sometimes all you have to do is widen the doorways, and you might be able to do that for $750 or so an opening. So it really depends on a very specific example. What type of house are you living in now? What type of disability do you have? And what type of adaptations have to be made for you and for your home?
You know, a lot of public buildings have to meet accessibility standards under the ADA. Homes have not had to meet this bar. I'm curious whether you are seeing changes in home design and renovation, particularly as we have this, you know, baby boomer population that wants to retire at home by and large.
We absolutely are. So right now in this country, there are well over 40 million people who are 65 years or older. And from my experience, that is actually the population that is driving these changes, making people think about, hey, if we're going to renovate the bathroom, maybe we should get rid of the bathtub and maybe we should put in a curbless shower. And maybe when we do that renovation, we should make it big enough so that if in the future we need to sit down or are in a wheelchair, it's big enough to turn around, that it has grab bars. You know, so we are seeing that from perfectly able-bodied young people thinking forward because we do. We want to stay in our homes. These changes are coming to the American home.
There's a concept called universal design that you work with. In layman's terms, explain to me what that is.
Universal design, in my opinion, is good design. If you have a round doorknob that might be difficult to use, if you have arthritic hands, why not use a paddle doorknob that you can operate with your fingers, but also with the side of your hand or even your elbow? Universal design is thinking through the everyday functions of the things in our house and making them easier to use without giving up the aesthetic.
How long do you think before the big commercial home builders start incorporating that into everything they do?
Oh, they're there already. There's no doubt about it. You know, there's a lot of first floor living. This idea of the master bedroom and bathroom being down on the first floor was driven by this. You can go out there to the large production builders right now and find lots of models where you can get that option. There's no doubt about it that this is already there. People probably don't even know that they are buying features that would be considered universal design.
Kevin O'Connor is the host of This Old House. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Groups like Homes for Our Troops are able to pick up the bill for a new accessible home. But for people modifying their living space on their own dime, it helps to get creative. Fernando Hernandez has been using a wheelchair since he was 19 and developed a tumor on his spine, which paralyzed him from the midriff down. His parents adapted their two-story family home at a high cost, including a $17,000 elevator lift. But when Fernando bought his own house, he worked on a do-it-yourself budget and spent $5,000 overall.
I bought this house about 3.5 years ago with the mindset of I wanted to do very little modifications to the house. I definitely was looking for a one-story house and wide door openings and open concept type of house. So not a lot of walls and doors to deal with. This is a ramp. So this was custom built from one of my friends. We just bought plywood at Home Depot and he was able to build it for me, but if you had to buy a ramp like that, it wouldn't be too expensive either. The front door also has a very minimal threshold ramp. I mean, I could hop it, but it's, you know, for every day, you don't want to have to do that every day. I have the luxury of being a little taller than most wheelchair users. I'm 6'6", so my ability to reach higher places may be much different than others, but doors were an issue because I am also bigger and wider. One of the easiest fixes that I made to the doors to accommodate myself is a simple $5 door hinge that you can get at Lowe's or any home improvement store that pushes the door outside of the door frame. It's a simple fix, but it saves you thousands of dollars. So this door has three hinges, and when you open the door, typically the door will stay in the door jamb, which will actually eat up about 1.5 inches of space. But as you can see from the door, once it's fully open, it completely allows full width of the door, which will give you an extra 1.5 inches. All right, so my bathroom, it is a little smaller than I would like, but you have to modify what you have. So in this case, what I did is I replaced the toilet to a wheelchair ADA toilet, which tends to be higher and longer. In addition to that, I also added a padded, what they call wheelchair bathroom bench, which also provides a little bit more padding and a little bit more stability. You want to make sure you're safe in the bathroom. This is where typically where more accidents happen. And definitely want to make sure you're as safe as you can possibly be and make sure you can do this on your own. Bathroom, unfortunately, is one of the big areas that does require quite a bit of expense and definitely money well spent if you do all the safety things that you need to. But it's not that bad. So, for example, the grab bars, you can buy pretty much anywhere these days. Those grab bars can be $20 a piece and it can go up to $100. A shower bench, you can buy those at most mobility centers or even online. So I think this one costs about $100. It's made out of plastic and metal. And I think I put it together within, I don't know, half an hour. Well, I'm lucky enough to have a partner now, but that wasn't always the case. But it's nice to be able to do everything for yourself. So that's what you want to be able to do.